And in these instructions, Prakashana Saraswati is getting illuminated. We're getting enlightened about the glories of Nam Sankirtan. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Silovanas, Devanas, Devanas, Devagatayanatam. And he's getting illuminated about how much one can attain simply by chanting this mantra, that it is the real Vedanta. And one can realize Krishna, one can attain Krishna Prema with this mantra. One can awaken so many different types of ecstasies by chanting. And this is really the perfection of all study and all knowledge. And one needs not to do anything else. One need not do anything else but chant the holy name purely, and he will receive all these wonderful benefits. The Lord Chaitanya is reiterating the Prakashan, the Saraswati, who of course is a Mayavadi sannyasi. So now, this is all quotations, these are all direct phrases from, or statements from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is Adi Lila, chapter 7, 71 to 96. Now we're on verses 91 to 96. We should finish today. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Prakashana Saraswati, Bala haila poile tumi parama purushartha tomara premete ami haelan kritartha. My Guru Maharaj told me, it is very good, my dear child, that you have attained the supreme goal of life by developing love of Godhead. Paile tumi parama purushartha tomara premete. Thus you have pleased me very much, and I am very much obliged to you. Kritartha, kritartha. Srila Prabhupada's purport. According to the revealed scriptures, if a spiritual master can convert even one soul into a perfectly pure devotee, his mission in life is fulfilled. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to always say, quote, even at the expense of all the properties, temples, and mats that I have, if I could convert even one person into a pure devotee, my mission would be fulfilled. End of quote. In other words, follow that. He's basically saying, I have 64 temples around India. I have so many properties, so much farmland for raising sabji and grains for the deities surrounding my temples. And I have so many schools, I have so many printing presses, and different properties, and mats means ashrams for brahmacharis and guest facilities. In cities and in country and Leela Stalis and Vrindavan and Mayapur and Jagannath Puri and Rajamundri and Chennai and Bombay and all over India. If someone could assure me, if someone could guarantee to me that Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, if you sell all of these properties, all of these ashrams, all of these temples, all these mosques, if you sell all of them, and then with that money that you get, you give me all that money, and I'll make sure that one of your disciples becomes a Shuddha Bhakta, a Krishna Premi Bhakta. If someone could give me that assurance, I would sell everything right now. That's basically what he's saying. Because Prabhupada has rephrased the statement in other places on tapes. If I could have that guarantee that, because all these temples, properties, it doesn't mean anything if I can't generate at least one pure devotee. Prabhupada says, it is very difficult to understand, however, the science of Krishna consciousness, what to speak of developing love of Godhead. Therefore, if by the grace of Lord Chaitanya and the spiritual master, a disciple attains the standard of pure devotional service, the spiritual master is very happy. The spiritual master is not actually happy if the disciple brings him money. But when he sees that a disciple is following the regulative principles and advancing in spiritual life, he is very glad and feels obliged to such an advanced disciple. The guru doesn't really care anything about money. He wants bhakti, devotion. He wants what Krishna wants. Krishna doesn't need any money. He's Lakshminarayan. He controls all the money. He wants devotion, love, loving service. So what Krishna wants, the Guru wants. The Guru wants to increase the loving servitors of the Lord and increase the loving service for the Lord's pleasure. There's also a nice story through Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in his temple where he was staying in Calcutta in 1930s. The sannyasis and brahmacharis were going out every day and collecting alms. They were collecting food, grains, not food, not cooked food, but grains, kacho, whatever they call it, bog, wheat and flour, oil, ghee, these type of things. Also money. And he noticed that in the temple, many of the brahmacharis and sannyasi collectors, they were begging to become humble and supposedly become humble. But he noticed in a lot of them, they were actually becoming proud. And many of them started to develop the mentality that our Guru Maharaj depends on us. Our Guru Maharaj, because he's old and he's somewhat old, he wasn't very old really, but was like not very old at all actually. He was born in 1874, so that's 26. This is 1930. Like 57, 58. Not very old. They're like 20, 22. They were thinking, oh, our Guru Maharaj depends on us. He needs us. He's busy writing, preaching. But we are maintaining this temple. We're collecting for this temple. We are bringing the food and the money to pay the bills. And they became proud and feeling that they actually developed the idea that the Guru Maharaj is depending on them. And Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he detected this mentality. So he wanted to teach his disciples a lesson. So one day he called Nishtha Goshti and just gave some preaching about Ishvara Samhitam Sarvam Jagat. That Krishna is the supreme controller, he owns everything, he provides everything, he gives everyone their quota. We're not the doers, we're not the karta. In a general way, and no one really caught on exactly what he was presenting other than just philosophy. Krishna consciousness, Krishna tattva. And then he told the disciples, he said, right, from tomorrow on, no one collect. No one go out and collect anything. Don't collect any food, any oil, ghee, grains, fruits, vegetables. Don't anyone collect any money. Just stay in the temple and do bhajan. Do kirtan, Bengali bhajans, Vaishnava bhajans. Do the puja, seva puja, study, artik, etc. But don't go out at all. Just stay. That is my guru agya, my order. So everyone said, all right. So they stayed in the temple, complying with the guru's order, chanting bhajans and temple service, etc. Then one day went by, 2 days went by, 3 days went by, and most of the food that they had in store was depleted. There were no more reserves. And there was no money to pay bills and whatnot, electric bill, etc., printing press bills and whatnot, paper bills. And the devotees were thinking, oh, we better go out and collect. Then all of a sudden, one by one and one after another, different men started coming to the temple. One man came up, and they weren't known people. They weren't life members or congregation or disciples, Grihastha disciples. They were unknown to the mat members and unknown to Bhaktisiddhanta. One man came up and said, oh, you brahmacharis, you're doing such nice seva here, very austere life. So here's 500 kilos of flour. Another man gave 50 kilos of ghee. Another man gave spices, oil, fruits. Day after day, more and more supplies were piling up. Then they noticed in the hundi box that every couple of days there was huge donations going in the box. Usually it was nothing practically. The money was piling up in the hundi box. Hundi box means donation box in the temple. And then they would take that money out, the treasurer and president, and they would bring the collections to Bhaktisiddhanta and say, Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, today we collected 1,000 rupees. And in the last 5 years, we haven't collected 500 rupees. 5 years we haven't collected 500 rupees. And since we've been just staying here, in one day we collected 1,000 rupees. This is astounding. And Guru Maharaj was quiet, said, yes, this is Krishna's mercy. So then, after about a week, or it was almost 2 weeks, there was so much stock in the temple store, they had enough food for 3 or 4 years. Oil, ghee, flour, vegetables, fruits, and so much dry goods and wheat and everything, chickpeas, and fabulous amounts of money. And then Bhakti Sandra Saraswati called another Ishtagosti. He says, so some people, some disciples in the temple, they think they're the doers. Can you see now who's doing everything? Do you think the Guru depends on you? The Guru doesn't depend on you. It doesn't depend on your collections, your money, your seva, anything. He only depends on Krishna. Everything's coming from Krishna. Everything's arranged by Krishna. We're all das and a das and a das. You know, there's only one ekaleshwara vrityaras, ekaleshwara Krishna arasavya vritya. There's only one controller, only one supreme. And we're all his servants. I am his servant and you are his servant. So let us continue now, from now on, but just always maintain this mentality that we're all serving together. I am serving you, you are serving me, we're all serving Krishna together. And he's doing everything, he's managing everything, he's controlling everything, he's providing everything. Not you, not me, everything is coming from him. So let's give up all this ego, let's give up all this false ego, and this sense of controlling and doing, and simply humbly carry out our duties in life and always be known to the Lord. So needless to say, his disciples learned a very powerful lesson there in humility and simply understanding who is the actual doer. And they didn't think, they never thought again from that day forward that the Guru depends on them. Actually, disciple depends on Guru. Whatever he can do, whatever he has done, or whatever he will do, or whatever he is doing, is all the blessings and mercy of his Guru. Nothing more and nothing less. So now, Natchagao Bhakta Sange Kara Sankirtan Krishnanam Upadeshi Tara Sarvajan. My Guru told me more. He said, Ishwapuri said, my dear child, continue dancing, chanting, and performing Sankirtan in association with devotees. Furthermore, go out and preach the value of chanting Krishna Nam, for by this process you'll be able to deliver all fallen souls. Krishna Nam Upadeshi Tara Sarvajan. Tara means Tarani. There's one form of Durga called Tarani Devi, a goddess of deliverance. Delivers one from suffering. To some extent. So Tara means deliver. Tara Sarvajan. Deliver all the living entities by Upadesh. Kripa. Krishna Upadeshi. By the instructions of Krishna. Natchagao Bhakta Sange Kara Sankirtan. Get together in a group. Get together in a group of devotees and dance and sing the glories of the Lord. Gao, Natch. Prabhupada's purport. Part of his purport. This is verse 92. It is another ambition of the spiritual master to see his disciples not only chant, dance, and follow the regulative principles, but also preach the Sankirtan movement. Preach the Sankirtan movement to others in order to deliver them. For the Krishna consciousness movement is based on the principle that one should become as perfect as possible in devotional service oneself and also preach the cult for others' benefit. Now this is a very interesting and profound statement of Srila Prabhupada, which we sometimes mentioned before, that all the verses of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and any shastra, they can be seen from different angles of vision and understood from different perspectives, according to one's bhava, according to one's eligibility, adhikar, according to his advancement in devotion, according to the mercy he's received from superiors, according to the depth of his surrender, you will see more and more. So in one sense, Prabhupada's saying, ISKCON, the institution, the temples, the ashrams, the institutions, the 400 temples around the world, or whatever the number is today. This is the basis of all these temples. These temples are all based on two principles. They're founded, all of the ISKCON temples around the world are based on two principles. One, first principle, the inmates or the residents, the members of those temples, they should personally become as perfect as possible. That's their internal work, their personal self-development, upliftment, attempts at upliftment combined with the mercy of the Lord. By study, by surrender, by seva, within the temples, within the institution, to the guru, they come as perfect. That's one principle of the ISKCON temples. And the other principle is, go out and preach. Take some books from the temple, books, go down, go out and distribute books, take the kartals and mardanga, go out to the streets and give out the harinam, chant Hare Krishna, sankirtan. So these are the two principles by which these are two operating principles for all the temples of ISKCON. So that seems quite patent, quite obvious meaning of the verse. But now, if you take this verse from another angle, we'd like to look at it from another angle. Prabhupada says, the Krishna consciousness movement is based on these two principles. Now, the Krishna consciousness movement is based on two principles. The Krishna consciousness movement. So you can take this phrase, the Krishna conscious movement, this phrase can mean ISKCON temples worldwide. This phrase applies to 400 temples, and these two principles apply to the members of those 400 temples. Pras. But if we see something deeper here, we can see that these two principles and this phrase applies to every human being on the planet. Because it is the duty of every human being on the planet to realize God. This is the birthright of human life. In the human form of life, we can realize God. We can inquire about the meaning of human life. Who are we? Why are we here? Where are we going? What is the purpose of life? Who is God? What is this world? What is the purpose of this world? What is the time factor? What is karma? All these five questions. Jiva, Prakriti, Ishvara, Karma, and Kala. Five subjects of Gita. So these questions and these pursuits and these answers we can seek. And finding these answers, we'll understand the deeper meaning of life beyond the animalistic or bestial pursuit of sense gratification. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. He says, you only live once. You only live once, so live it to the fullest. There's no afterlife, there's no life after death. All these things. It's hedonistic, nihilistic, atheistic, impersonalistic philosophy, which is quite prevalent. But a civilized man, with some development of consciousness and some opening of his mind, will understand the higher values of life, the higher meaning of life. Life is meant for God consciousness, self-realization. So fortunately, at this juncture in time, there's still quite a few people like that. I can't say the majority, by any means. According to Prabhupada, it's only 25%. In the age of Kali, only 25% of the people are interested in God-realization. 75% of demoniac are interested in sense gratification. Because there's only one leg of religion standing. And that's a little bit of truthfulness. So those few truthful people are like one out of four. One out of four of the people on the planet are somewhat truthful and somewhat interested in God. So those are the ones we're talking about. But that's still quite a lot. So therefore, but being a little broader in our application of this verse, we're saying that this term, Krishna consciousness movement, applies to every human being on the planet, because every human being on the planet is meant to move towards God. Human life is meant for motion or movement towards God. Actions which will bring one closer to God. Activities or actions or duties which will bring one closer to God, progressing towards God. This means movement. Movement means progressing, going forward, going up, going, advancing. Spiritual advancement, spiritual movement, spiritual progress. Krishna consciousness movement. So it's all, obviously, you have to be conscious to do any movement. When you're unconscious, you don't move. Right? When you're sleeping in class, your eyes don't stay open. When you're lying in the bed, there's no movement. Is there a movement? Of course, there's psychic movement or subtle movement of the brain, but that's a different thing. So we have to be conscious. So the Krishna consciousness movement, this term applies not to 400 temples, but it applies to 5 billion people. 5 billion people, the 5 billion people, or whatever it is, maybe 6 by now, the 6 billion people living on this planet Earth, they all have the potential to be members of the Krishna consciousness movement. They can all move towards God. They can all move towards Krishna. Everyone can become conscious of Krishna, conscious of God, and move towards Him, advance towards Him, progress towards Him. But how will you do that? If you want to do that as an individual, then Prabhupada is saying in this verse, or let's say purport, following this verse, if you want to do that effectively, if you want to do that most effectively, the most effective way for a human being to move or progress towards God, the most effective way for a human being to become conscious of God, to become aware of God, to realize God, and to move towards God and progress towards God, aka Krishna, to move towards Krishna and realize Krishna, is to follow these two principles, which Prabhupada said. This is the basis of your movement. This is the basis of your progress. This is the basis of your advancement. These are the two principles. The first principle is, physician, heal thyself. Physician, heal thyself. Become as perfect as possible yourself in Krishna consciousness. That's the first principle, to move toward God and the movement back to Godhead. And the second principle of success is to help others. Heal others. Become healed and heal others. Become cured and cure others. Become Krishna conscious and help others become Krishna conscious. So these are the two principles. Prabhupada is saying that the movement towards Krishna is based on two principles. So if we only execute one of the principles, our movement will be retarded. It will be slowed down. It won't be perfect. Some people are just busy taking care of themselves, healing themselves. As Prabhupada said, becoming as perfect as possible in devotional service oneself, and also preach the cult for others' benefit. So we would like to say that Prabhupada is instructing everyone here, every man, woman, and child, become as, these are the two principles for spiritual perfection, for healthy, happy, quick progress on the path of Krishna consciousness movement. You want to move in Krishna consciousness and move back to Krishna very quickly, then follow these two principles. Work on self-development, work on self-improvement, become Krishna conscious now, by hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna, studying, observing all the principles, developing attachment, practicing devotion with loving feeling, with a desire to attain bhava and prema, always looking up, associating with advanced devotees, hankering for the day when you love Krishna and serve Him intimately in a beautiful individual spiritual relationship. And secondly, acting for the benefit of others. I know I'm preaching, website, this thing, that thing, so many ways. Bhagavad Gita classes. Writing books. Distributing books. Glorifying Vaishnavas. Glorifying holy dhams. All these types of things. Spreading Krishna consciousness. Explaining the principles of Vedic life. Vedic civilization, reviving consciousness and awareness of the perfect civilization of India. all these ways. Prabhupada is saying something very important here for all of us to consider. So it's preaching is for everyone. Only sannyasis can preach. And the Gaudiya Math, generally only the sannyasis preach. Brahmacharis do a few classes in the temple. And outward preaching, usually only the sannyasis. Now it's changing a little bit. Traditionally it was like that. In the Madhva Sampradaya, the sannyasis or the Math, they're the preachers. So the preachers are quite limited. Not that many, a handful. But Prabhupada's idea here is everyone that's God conscious should be a preacher. Everyone that's progressing towards God or moving towards God should also preach. These are two sides of the same coin. Krishna consciousness means self-development and helping others. Krishna consciousness means helping yourself and helping others. From Prabhupada's viewpoint and perspective, which he's drawing this from Prabhupada's viewpoint is Lord Chaitanya's viewpoint. Lord Chaitanya is echoing or repeating what he heard from his guru. Ishwara Puri told him, yes, my child, yes, Nimai, you take this mantra, you take this 10-syllable Krishna mantra, and you chant and you dance, and you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and you dance and ecstasy, you relish your own bhavas, and you relish the chanting of Namruchi and the praying, non-praying, praying sankirtan, and gather with other devotees, and nacho, kao, chant and dance. And not only your own development and your own experiences and your own existential ecstasies of bliss, but help others. So Prabhupada is only telling us in ISKCON and out of ISKCON and everyone, we like to say, expanding Prabhupada's statement, telling everyone, oh my children of the world, oh children of God, as Ishwara Puri addressed Nimai Pandit, his disciple or his child like a father, guru like father, and shishya like children. He's saying, oh my child, he's probably using this phrase. I don't see this phrase in the Bengali. It says, Natchagao Bhakta Sange Kara Sankirtan Krishna Nama Upadeshitara Sarvajam. There's no phrase there, O Shishu, O Balak, O Balak, O Shishu. The Prabhupada says, my dear child, this is called poetic license. This is Kavi, this book is Kavi, it's poetry. So the translator has his license also. He's also a poet. Prabhupada is a perfect poet. So he's seeing this scene of this elderly Ishwara Puri, who's the fatherly figure, the guru is like father. He's seeing this young boy taking diksha. Lord Chaitanya took diksha when he was about 20 years old. And Ishwara Puri, because when he was about 20, after a few years after his father died, Lord Chaitanya went on pilgrimage to Gaya to do the Shraddha. Not immediately after his father died, it was a few years later. Because the injunction, of course, Pind and Shraddha are all done in certain days and year and all that thing. But going to Gaya, going on a Gaya Yatra, it only has to be once in a life. The son can go once in a life to Gaya and worship Gadadhar Vishnu's Charan Chinna, lotus feet of Vishnu in Gaya, and do those rituals there for his departed ancestor. So, Nimai Pandit's father died when he was about 17, I believe. When he was 20, Nimai Pandit went to Gaya and he took diksha. He was a 20-year-old boy. Ishwara Puri was 80 or 90 or something. So, Srila Prabhupada is right. He's there. If these instructions were given by Ishwara Puri to Nimai Pandit, to his young childlike disciple, his guru's father, in one sense, spiritual father and disciple of spiritual child. So he's adding this in. My dear child, you develop yourself and you chant and you dance and you experience all these ecstasies of Nam Sankirtan. And you chant in Sangha. It says, Natchagao, Bhakta Sangha. You gather together with all the bhaktas. And no, you don't preach to bhaktas, you relish with bhaktas. You relish Satam Prasangam, Mamavirya Samvido. Rasayana Kata, Ritkana Rasayana Kata. You relish the nectar of Hari Kata with the devotees. It's not really preaching in terms of converting or removing doubts, it's simply relishing nectar. So you meet with all the devotees and you chant and dance and relish ecstasies. Why? Krishna Nam Upadeshi Sarvajana. The Sarvajana who are not the Bhakta Gana. There's the Bhakta Gana and the Sarvajana. Bhakta Gana is a group of devotees. And the Sarvajanas are non-devotees, Vashandis, atheists, Lechas, Yavanas, Shamshayavadis, those that are doubters, agnostics. You go to them, Yare Deki Tare Kaha Krishna Padeshama Agyaya Guru Hanatare Desh. You go to those people and you tell them the Krishna Agya, the teaching of Krishna, Gita and Bhagavatam. Krishna Upadeshi, Sarvajan. So internal development, morning program, Bhagavatam class, chanting Tulsi Puja, Shringararti, Guru Puja, Prasadam, studying Bhagavatam, verses, shlokas, Bhagavad Gita, and Bhajan. Then you go out and Harinam, Sankirtan preaching, then come back in the night, Yaskan sandwich. Top, the bread in the morning is the morning program, in the middle is the preaching, and the bottom slice of bread is the evening program. It's the Iskand sandwich, Prabhupada said once. So we eat a sandwich every day. Morning program, evening program, top bread, bottom bread, in the middle, the cheese and tomato, and lettuce. This is the preaching and book distribution and writing. These are the two principles by which you will move on the path of Krishna Bhakti. These are two principles by which one will become quickly conscious of Krishna. And these are the two principles by which one will become solidly fixed in the Krishna consciousness movement. Do you want to be a member of the Krishna consciousness movement? Do you want to be moving towards Krishna and consciously? And that's Prabhupada saying, if your answer is yes, then observe and follow these two principles. Which Ishvara Puri told Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya is telling the other devotees, and in Chaitanya Sampradaya, in the Gaudiya, Brahma Mata Gaudiya Sampradaya, our Guru Maharaj is simply repeating the words that he has heard from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Guru Maharaj, which his Guru Maharaj did. So this is, we should try our best to follow these two principles. Not just preach and don't do self-development, not just do self-development and not preach, but both, like two rails of a train. The railway, there's rails. The train goes on two rails. And if one rail is not there, then the train falls off the side. You can't go on to the goal. We'll try to finish this today and then have our next class. Next verse, 93. Eta bale eka shloka shikaila more. Bhagavatarasare Bale Vare Vare. Saying this, my spiritual master, Ishvara Puri, taught me a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the essence of all the Bhagavatam's instruction. Therefore he recited this verse again and again. It's very interesting. In this dialogue, the Lord Chaitanya is preaching the Prakashananda Saraswati, the Mayavadi Sannyasi and Banaris. He's repeating word for word, verbatim, all the instructions that he had received from his guru, Ishvara Puri. And earlier on in this discussion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Ishvara Puri, my guru said, don't try to study Vedanta. Just chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And then Lord Chaitanya said, and my guru said that all the Vedantic literature, all the Shruti, Smritis, everything, it can be summarized in this one verse from the Brihad Naradiya Purana. Harinam, 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 Iva Kevalam. Kalohana Seva, Nisseva, Nisseva, Gatyon Yata. And my Guru Maharaj, Ishvara Puri, he told me that I should keep this verse in my throat. Kantihara, Kantikara. He said I should hold this verse inside my throat. And we discussed that. One verse we should have inside our throat, Harinam. Another verse we should have surrounding our neck. Our neck, we should wear a mala, a necklace around our neck. And that's the verse of Krishna's Kaviraj. At least that's what Krishna's Kaviraj told us. Which is a verse that was spoken in Gambira. And that verse that should be adorning our neck like a mala for everyone to see, which we should wear. We should wear that verse and wear those qualities and display those qualities to others in our actions and behavior. Trinarapi sine chinatarori vasishino. We should show everyone Vaishnava humility and tolerance and pridelessness and showing honor to all others according to rank and position. But we should internalize and deeply reflect upon and realize and hold inside. Inside, we're not showing this verse, we're realizing the deep import of this verse. is inside our throat, that we understand there's nothing for me to do. I realize, I understand, and I'm acting in such a way that I have nothing else to do but Hari Nam, Hari Nam, Hari Nam, Hari Kevalam. There's no other process, there's no other way. I don't have to do Homa or Yagya or Satyanarayan Puja or Ganesha Puja or Devi Puja or Garbhacha or whatever that puja is. Some wife, you know, fast for the husband. Whatever, this puja, they fast one day for the health of the husband. So we don't have to do anything. So the only verse Lord Chaitanya has cited so far in his preaching to Prakashana Saraswati is this verse from Brihadaranyaka Purana. Now, so he said this verse is from the Puran, and this describes, this summarizes all the Vedanta, this is Vedanta. Now there's one verse, the last Puran to be written, is the Bhagavad Puran. And even the Bhagavad Puran was modified, because this question is out. Because they say, because in the first canto there's a discussion where it says that there are 18 Puranas were all compiled. And then, so the 18 Puranas are compiled, and then Srila Vyasadeva wrote the Bhagavad Puran. This is a very interesting dialogue. He wrote the 18 Puranas and he wasn't satisfied. And then so Vyasadeva, he was very despondent. Oh, I'm not satisfied. But he already compiled the 18 Puranas. And in that 18 Puranas, Bhagavad Puran was one of the Puranas. Srimad Bhagavatam. But he wasn't satisfied. So someone says, well, wait a minute, how is he not satisfied? The Acharyas are discussing it. And then, of course, you know, Narada Muni came to him. He said, oh, you're not satisfied because you have not explained the glories of the Lord. So then someone raises the question, well, how could he not have explained the glories of the Lord? He already wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's about Krishna. So then they try to say, he had written the Srimad Bhagavatam, but he had not actually described the Vraja Ras. The Ras of Grudge. It's simply a summary description, something like Vishnu Puran. Because the Vishnu Puran is also Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. But there's no Ras there. You read the Vishnu Puran. Vishnu Puran mentions the Ras Leela in a few verses. Very summary description. Ras Leela and Vishnu Puran. Vishnu Puran is one of the 18 Puranas. Bhagavad Puran is one of the 18 Puranas. It's not a 19th Purana. There's 18 Puranas and Srimad Bhagavatam is one of them. So then, under the instruction of Narada Muni, he had a second sitting, just like an author writes a book and then he has an afterthought and he writes an epilogue. So then, Vyasadeva sat down a second time, after he had already written Srimad Bhagavatam and was despondent. Then under the instruction of Narada Muni, he went back and he edited his book. He looked deep into his book and said, oh, yes, I have the rupam, but I don't have the vastu. I have a body but no soul. I have a car but no driver. I have a story but no ras. So then he went deep, he went into what's called Samadhi Bhashya. It's called Samadhi Bhashya. Bhashya means language. He went into deep meditation. He was looking at the Bhagavad Puran, meditating deep in on Krishna. He entered, Srila Vyasadeva entered what they call Samadhi Bhashya. He entered into deep Samadhi on Krishna. And in that samadhi, he actually perceived the ras of Krishna's pastimes. He tasted the ras of Krishna's pastimes in that samadhi. Then he was empowered by that ras to convey that ras in language. Bhashya means language. So then he rewrote the Srimad Bhagavatam, or he injected the ras there. So then Srimad Bhagavatam became a rasa shastra. It became alive. And then he became satisfied. That yes, Now I have given the complete rasic commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. Now I am satisfied by mercy of my spiritual master Narada Muni. Now I have presented the full picture of Rasika Shekhar. Rasika Shekhar, Akila Rasamritas Murti, Sri Krishna. So this is how the Acharyas explain wait a minute, there's the Bhagavatam written. You see, if you read the first canto of Bhagavatam, he already compiled all the Vedas, including the Puranas. And then Narada Muni comes to him and he says, I'm not happy, I'm despondent. So that's why if anyone's an attentive reader, he'll say, wow, there's some discrepancy here. He wrote the Bhagavatam, now he's writing the Bhagavatam again. I don't know if you've noticed that, but it's there. So this is the answer that's given by the commentaries. So now, in this discussion with Prakashananda, again he's quoting a verse. He's saying, all right, the Puranas are written, all the Vedas are written, then the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second sitting, the Srimad Bhagavatam, because before Prakashananda, I quoted the verse in the Brihadaranyaka Purana, that this is Vedanta, this is all the Shruti Smritis, everything is here, Harinam, Harinam. Now, I'm going to quote you a verse from the commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, which is, this is the final word. This is the final of the final words. So, and this is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, because this is practically the end of the, this is the end of the discussion, or the end of the Prabhachan. He says, Eta Bali Eka Shloka Shikaila More Bhagavata Sara E Bali Vare Vare. Bhagavata Sara. The Bhagavatam is the essence of all the Vedas. It is a natural commentary in the Vedanta Sutra. And Bhakti, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that Ek Shloka, this one verse that was spoken to me by my spiritual master Ishvara Puri, this one verse is the essence of all the Bhagavatam. There are 18,000 verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. They're all commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. And these are very satisfying and the wonderful cream of the Vedic literature. This is the Shuka Mukad Amritam. Shuka Mukad Amritam Pivatam. This is the nectar, the sweet nectar that's emanated from the mouth of Shukadeva Goswami after hearing it from Vyasadeva. To ripen fruit on the tree of Vedic literature. And all these verses are there in the first canto. And of all that ripened fruit, of all that nectar, this is the nectar that condensed the essence of the essence of the essence. It's called the quintessence in English. The quintessence. The rarefied essence. And what in this one shloka, Eka Shloka Bhagavat Sara, this is the essence of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. And this comes from the 11th canto, chapter 2, verse 40. My Guru Maharaj, he taught me this one verse. He said, this is the essence of all the instructions of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, he recited this verse to me again and again. Bara Bara. Remember this, remember this, remember this, remember this. What is that verse? We don't even know it. Very interesting. Now, before introducing this verse, Prabhupada gives a purport. He gives a purport on Lord Chaitanya's statement before he even introduces the verse, which is the next verse. This verse, which you are about to hear, 11.2.40 of the Bhagavatam, was spoken by Sri Narada Muni to Vasudeva to teach him about Bhagavad Dharma. Vasudeva had already achieved the result of Bhagavad Dharma because God appeared in his house as his son. You couldn't have better religion than that. Dharma means religion, Bhagavad means the religion of Bhagavan. Yes, I'm following the path of Bhagavad Dharma. Oh, what have you understood about this? Well, not much, but God came in my house. God appeared in my house on Janmashtami as my son. Oh, I think you understand something about Bhagavad Dharma. I think you have very good realization. You have realized something about Bhagavad Dharma. Because God has come in the womb of your wife and appeared on your house. So Prabhupada said he had already achieved the result of Bhagavad Dharma because Lord Krishna appeared in his house as his son. Yet, in order to teach others, Vasudeva desired to hear from Sri Narada Muni to be enlightened in the process of Bhagavad Dharma. This is the humbleness of a great devotee. In other words, somehow he was visited by Sri Narada Muni, and when he was visited by Sri Narada Muni, he didn't just say, oh, Narada Muni, let me give you some blessings. You were just a little boy playing your veena. Traveling around the universe, clang, 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 narayana, 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 narayana. So listen, I am on the pinnacle of self-realization. I have achieved the zenith of Bhagavad Dharma. Do you realize that God has appeared in my house as my son? What can you tell me? You're a little boy. Twang, twang, twang. Narada muni bhajana veena. Radhika Ramana Nani. What can you tell me? You're like a beginner student. I'm a PhD, chairman of the department. Bhagavad Dharma. But no, he had to fold it down. So, welcome, welcome, great sage. Oh, Deva Rishi, oh, great Rishi, Mana Devas. Please sit down. Please let me wash your feet. Take the water on my head. And Devaki cooked for him and everything. So much service. And then now that you've come and graced my house, please bless me with some sacred words of advice. Please give me some Upadesh, some Narayan Upadesh. Please enlighten me. What is the path of Bhagavad Dharma? Can you please teach me? Because I don't really know anything about this Bhagavad Dharma. I'm a very simple man, you know. I just live in Mathura in his little house, and I don't know anything. Not only, yes. Let me tell you something. Sit down and open your ears. I'll tell you about this Bhagavad Dharma. You see, in the beginning, it was, it's like that. Oh. So this is the humility, the tiny bhava of a great devotee. Who could be a greater devotee than Vasudeva? Vasudeva and Devaki, father and mother of God. So everyone can learn something from everyone else. So this is the verb, which is the Bhagavatsar, the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, from 11:240. Evam vrata swa priya nama kirtya chatanharago juta chittu che asatya toho diti roti gayat yonma daman rityati loka maya jata anurag. When one has come to the level of anurag, juta chittu uche, when a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, Sopriya Nama, my dear, the name of my dear one, Swa Priya, my dear one, Evam Vrata, he has a vow, he's taken a vow that, oh my Priyaji, oh my Priyatam, oh Priya Priyatam, O Priya Priyatam Radhasham, please never leave my tongue. Please sleep on my, when I sleep, you sleep on my tongue. When I wake, you wake up on my tongue. I'm sleeping and my tongue is sleeping, but please you lie down on my tongue. It's soft, it's warm. You won't get dried out there. It's nice, you can sleep there. And sometimes if you want to dance while I'm sleeping, it's alright, you can dance on my tongue. I remember when I was in L.A., 75. I don't remember the devotee's name. I wish I could. And I don't even know if he blooped or stayed or whatever. But certainly he had an amazing feature about himself that his tongue would keep chanting Hare Krishna all night when he was sleeping. And we were lying there. There was like 50, 40 people lying on the floor. He's lying asleep. He was sleeping. And he had so much learned the art of some Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He was asleep and his. And it was not a tape player. The Maha Mantra was coming out of his mouth. I heard it. I saw it. Directly. I didn't hear someone tell me. I heard it in my own ear. I can't remember because I shifted from that temple. After 1 year, I went to another temple. I can't remember who that devotee was. I wish I could. But it's possible. So, oh my Lord, Lord Hashem, please, my Priya Priyatam, when I'm resting, you stay on my tongue. As soon as I wake up, then you wake up and start moving and then start dancing. So as soon as I wake up, my tongue says, Jai Giriyaj Marathi Jai, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And then all day long, you're just dancing and moving, and my tongue is always chanting. Evam. So, Evam Brata, this is my breath, this is my breath, this is my vow, this is my sankalpa, this is what I want. So Priya Nama. The Priya Nama Kritya. So this kind of breath, this kind of determination comes when one is at the level of Anurag. Jata Anurag means that Anurag is awakened, taken birth. Jat means Janma. Anurag. Intense. Anurag means attached to Krishna moment after moment. Anurag. Anuraga. Attachment that moves. It doesn't wane. It doesn't get lost. Not that you're attached now and detached a minute later. Are attached today. Oh, I'm really fired up. I'm really attached to Krishna today. I'm really attached tomorrow. I'm really attached for 5 days. And then I got detached from the spacecraft and I'm orbiting in space. I got ejected from my jet engine, or what do you call it, turbine, got ejected from the spacecraft. Now I'm just freewheeling in space, detached from Krishna. But Anurag is a permanent state of attachment. From moment to moment, one is remembering the Lord. See, when a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he is agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs, cries, becomes agitated, and chants like a madman, not caring for outsiders. So of course, Anuraga, this chuta chitta uchai, druta chitte, says the very eagerly. So these type of experiences, of course, are coming at the level of bhava. This can't be imitated. Falsely imitated, run around, it's really a genuine path. But this is it, that the devotee, this is the essence of the Bhagavatam. The devotee becomes so much attached to Krishna, Radha means attachment, that he can't leave Krishna for a moment. It's asakti, it's attachment. And then he's principally attached to Nam, Supriya Nam. The Bhagavatam is talking about Nam, basically Srimad Bhagavatam, because it's Kali Yuga. The scripture is given at the juncture of Kali Yuga, Krishna Sadamo Bhagade Sadamo. Says the sages were asking, Krishna has left this world. Now Kali is coming. So where can we find Krishna? Where can we find Krishna? Krishna Sadamo Bhagade Dharmaginada Disaha. That Krishna has gone to his own Dham. Krishna Sudamo Bhagate Upagate. Upagate means he's gone, he's left, he's moved. Krishna Sudam. He's gone back to Godhead. Krishna went back home, back to Godhead. At the end of Dwapara Yuga. Dharma Jnana Ganadi, beginning, taking along with him, beginning Dharma, Jnana, knowledge and religion. He took everything with him. He took the truth with him. He took knowledge with him, and religion and Dharma with him. Says Dunarko Nodita. I just can't remember. Do you know the verse? Do you remember the verse? Krishna Sadam Mobarite Dhamyanadita. Dunarko. I can't remember. I can't, it slips my mind. But he said, what it says is that although he left, he can be found, the light of Krishna's knowledge can be found in the pages of the Bhagavatam. This Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun. So Krishna has gone, ascended, and left this earth planet, and his Bhoma Vrindavan Leela, his Bhakat Leela. He has left this world to go back to his planet, the Loka Vrindavan. But simultaneously leaving this world, he has manifested, entered into the page of the Bhagavatam. So the answer when the sages said, where can we find Krishna? Where can we find Dharma and knowledge? Dharma and Jnana, where can we find religion and knowledge? Because Krishna took it with him. Oh, he deposited it in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You can find it there. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining the Bhagavad Dharma. Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining the path of religion, the path of Dharma, the highest duty to attain perfection in human life. The means by which one can go back to the spiritual world, the means to realize God and attain the perfection of eternal bliss and knowledge in the spiritual world. And so the beginning of the Bhagavatam, the middle of the Bhagavatam, and the end of the Bhagavatam begins with Harinam Sankirtan. He says that the chanting of the holy name is the perfection of life. All perfection can be attained by chanting the holy name. That's in the first canto. And then in the middle of the Bhagavatam, sixth canto, it tells the whole story of Ajamil. That's just if you forget the idea, and then in the middle you're reminded again. About Nam Sankirtan, Nam about one name of Krishna and Narayan Nam can give one liberation. And the end of Bhagavatam, there's so many verses about the holy name, and the very last verse of the Bhagavatam, 12th canto, says that perfection of life is to continually offer obeisance to the Lord, to moment to moment offer humble obeisance to the lotus feet of the Lord, and continue to chant Nam Sankirtan. Hari Nam Sankirtan. The whole Bhagavatam is saying the goal of life is the praying seva of Radha Krishna Vrindavan. Especially Radharani,
is basically said there in a hidden way. The service of Radha Krishna and Vrindavan Vrajabhakti, that is the prayojan, that is the goal of human life, and the means to attain it, which is recommended in Bhagavatam, of course, Bhakti Yoga. And the principal practice of Bhakti Yoga in Kali Yuga is Harinam, 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 Kevala, Kuruvana, Stevana, 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 Dhatya, chanting the holy name of Krishna. So therefore, when Lord Chaitanya is saying, my Guru Maharaj Ishwar Puri told me this is this Eka Shloka Bhagavata Sara, this one shloka is the essence of Bhagavatam, this one shloka is all about Nam Sankirtan. As I mentioned, 11th canto has many, many verses about Nam Sankirtan. Krishna Varam Trisai Krishnam Sango Panga Shaparshanam Yagya Sankirtan Abraya Yajanti Yusam Hinashaha. All these verses, Nam Sankirtan, Nam Sankirtan. So this is the essence, this is the Bhagavat Sara, the essence of the Bhagavatam. And it's a whole thing. If you take the whole Bhagavatam, like you take a piece of sugar cane, you cut the sugar cane and put it through some presses, and then you press it, what do you get? What is the essence? Ras, ganaras, sugar cane juice, rasa. So if you take the whole 18 verses of the Bhagavatam, if you compress them and juice them or condense all the 18,000 verses, then you get one shloka, Eka Shloka Bhagavat Sara. What is that shloka? It's all about Nam Sankirtan. The whole Bhagavatam is about Nam Sankirtan. Lord Chaitanya, Ishwar Puri told Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya is telling Prakashananda Saraswati, and Krishna Kaviraj is telling all of us on behalf of Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya is preaching to Prakashananda Saraswati, he's also preaching to us. Isn't it? Otherwise, why are these leelas recounted to you? They're recounted for us. They're not recounted for Prakashananda Saraswati. Krishna Kaviraj didn't write this book for Prakashananda Saraswati, because by the time he wrote this book, Prakashananda Saraswati is already dead. And he didn't write it for Lord Chaitanya, because by the time he wrote this Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya had already ascended to the spiritual world, Nitya Lila. So therefore, who he wrote it for? Did he write it for himself? He wrote it for the devotees, because they requested him, and he wrote it for all of us, for the legacy of the future devotees who need these teachings, need to understand these teachings, need to apply these teachings, need to realize these teachings. So therefore, this verse is very important for all of us, because it's the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Lord Chaitanya is basically wrapping up the whole discussion by saying, look, you're criticizing me and have doubts about me for chanting and dancing in ecstasy, but this is the whole conclusion of the Vedas, the natural commentary, all the Vedas. First of all the Vedas, including the Puranas, are saying Harinam is the only way. And I'm chanting Harinam. So I'm doing a good thing. You're studying Vedanta? This is Vedanta. Then the commentary on Vedanta. Vedanta, what is Vedanta? You say you know the Vedanta. You're going to teach me Vedanta. The Advaita Gyan. You're Brahmavadi, Mayavadi, Sannyasi. You're going to teach me Advaita Gyan. Vedanta. But okay, thank you, but now listen to me. I'm going to teach you Vedanta. And all the Vedas are going to be summarized in this Puranic verse from Brihadaranyaka Purana. And it says, Harinam, Harinam, not studying all the sutras that you're talking about. Sarvaka Vedam Brahma, Atata Brahma Jidnasa, Jamna, Yasira, Taha. This is not it. It's only Harinam. There's no other way, no other way, no other way. This is Kali Yuga, man. Get with it. Wake up. Jijago. So that's all the Vedas. That's Vedanta. Now, the final thing I want to tell you, which will further explain my extraordinary behavior, which you are so curious and doubtful about, is that in the commentary on that Vedanta Sutra, which I've already summarized in this verse in Puran, in another Puran, which is the final Puran, the conclusive Puran, which is the natural commentary in all the Vedanta Sutra, which you are so proudly think you know, this verse my guru taught me, and he said this is the essence of the whole Bhagavatam, which is the essence of the whole Vedas, which is the whole commentary in the Vedanta Sutra. And in this verse, which is the essence of all Vedanta Sutra, and the essence of all commentaries on Vedanta Sutra, from the Srimad Bhagavatam, says that you should chant and dance like a madman. And that's what I was doing in Benares. I was chanting and dancing like a madman, so cool it. Don't criticize me. Don't find fault with me. Don't think I'm not being a good sannyasi. I'm the perfect Vedantist. I'm the perfect Vedantist. I'm perfectly executing Yoga as my spiritual master. And actually realize the fullest meaning of all the Vedas, Shrutis, and commentaries, and all the Vedanta Sutra. And if you were smart, you would do like me. pack up your books, pick up your karto, and dance. Chant and dance. Throw your danda naganga. Danda banga. When a person is actually advanced, in other words, he's kind of, in an indirect way, he's saying, you ain't advanced. You're Prakashana Saraswati, you're 9 years old, I'm just a little 24-year-old sannyasi. You're a big Maha Mandaleshwar Shastra Shiromani Chaturvedis, Sri Shrimad Ekadarat, Srila Prakashana Saraswati Thakur Ki. You have 69,000 disciples, 27,000 Rolls Royces, and a solid gold Vyasa San. And all I have is a little egg danda, and a little kamandalu, and bare feet. No, I don't even have a Brahmin thread. I don't have a Sika. I don't even say I possess a Shika. I don't even have a Brahmin thread, five pies Brahmin thread. All I have is Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Madhavaya. That's all I have. Brijendra Nandan Shamasandra Jagannath. I'm a murka. Hey. Tamara murka. My guru said you are a fool. Simply Krishna Nama. Sara Krishna Nama, what is it? Krishna Nama, Sara. Krishna Mantra Sara, Krishna Mantra Sara. My guru told me, just Krishna Mantra Sara, always chant the Krishna Mantra, my dear boy. Ishwara Puri told me. And Krishna Mantra Sara. This mantra is the essence of all mantras. So now, after Lord Chaitanya soundly defeated the big guru, the big Mahant of Benares, the Mayavadi Mahant, and he thoroughly bashed him, then he sums it up by saying, quoting from Narada Muni to Vasudeva, the father of Krishna, not his own words. I'm not saying this. I don't mean anything personal, Prakrishnananda. I'm not trying to be defensive. I'm not trying to establish my position. I'm not trying to one-upmanship you, and I'm not trying to put you down. I don't mean to belittle you or anything. I don't mind anything. I just want to quote the Bhagavad Puran. This is what Narada Muni said to Vasudeva. It was many years ago, and I'm a little boy, I know I don't know anything, but please, maybe you forgot this verse, but to my Guru Maharaj, I don't know about your Guru Maharaj, I don't know about you, my Guru Maharaj told me that this is the Bhagavat Sara, Eka Shloka Bhagavat Sara, this is the essence of the essence of the essence. And there Narada Muni said, if someone is actually advanced, which of course you think you are, if someone is actually advanced, he doesn't sit on his backside all day and study Vedanta Sutra in a dark room and half falling asleep. He hits the street with mridanga and kartal. Of course, he used to play the hollow first. But he hits the street with kartal mridanga, and he starts dancing in ecstasy. He laughs, he cries, he becomes agitated, and he chants like a madman, not caring for outsiders. He wears one red sock, one blue sock. He's a bona fide Hare Krishna member. And sometimes we saw these films in Yadavara's newest film. He goes on Harinam Sankirtan with one chapel. Did you see that the other day? We were watching these new movies where they show clips of Prabhupada and devotees in Sankirtan, and someone speaking, yes, this was Cross Maidan Festival, yes, this was London Rath Yatra. And it shows, here we are in Harinam, and Vishnuchan is leading us. And you see the devotees walking down the street, and one devotee had one sandal and one chapel on one foot. I said, wow, I've never seen that. I've seen a guy wearing a red sock and a blue sock and a green sock and a purple sock. But matching socks were taboo. When I joined this guy, it was taboo. It was against the rules to wear the same color socks. That meant you weren't cool. If you wore two white socks or two saffrons, no, that was not forbidden. That was not permitted. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, look, you told me that I should be a good sannyasi, I should shush up, just sit down, be quiet, keep turning the pages one after another, 29,000 pages, and study the Vedas, learn all these sutras, be a good boy, don't make all this ruckus and noise in the city streets, stirring up all the dust. Be quiet, study the Om, Da, Vishnu, just chant verses all day and pour over the Rig Veda and Samaveda, Yajurveda, Tharva Veda. Take one chickpea every hour and be happy. And then you'll be really advanced. and really attain the perfection of life, and this is a real Vedantist, and a real Advaitin Sannyasi, you're a naked Gandhi Sannyasi like me, so be like me. And Lord Chaitanya came back. He said, if one is actually advanced, he'll take pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, Sapriya Namakirtya. And he'll become agitated. He can't sit still. He can't just sit there. Ta Vishna Paramam Param Sada Pashanti Suriyo Jajiva Rakatam Tavi Paso Jagivam Sa Samindatayya Vishna Yatparam Param Tat Sat. He can't be. When he starts chanting Hare Krishna, he says, Krishna Prema Upajai. Krishna Prema Upajai. The Krishna Prema, it rises, it jumps out of his mind, it jumps out of his heart, it makes him jump. It's like you sit in an electric chair. When they give the electric chair, the guy jumps. They put a little helmet on his, and they put him in a chair, and his body jumps up about a foot off the chair when they kill someone with electricity. 10,000 volts. Chum, thum. He jumps. So you become agitated when you, so Priya Nama, when you chant the name of your Priya Priyatam, and with anurag, with intense attachment and love, you jump. You can't help but jump. You become agitated. When you start chanting this loving Nam, this Nam makes you jump. The heart jumps, the mind jumps, the body jumps. 1, 2, 3, like a sequence. You can agitate, you start chanting, dancing, you don't care, hell with everybody, Hare Krishna. Stare at me, look at me, mock me, jeer me, throw beer bottle at me, throw fish at me, put fish in my book bag, do whatever you want. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The dog may bark, but the caravan will pass. This is a Hare Nam. Invincible, unstoppable, irrepressible. Sweet, sweet, sweet. What nectar, so sweet. And anyone who's been Harinam Sankirtan, they know. They've tasted, they've experienced. They've seen it from both sides. Vajrahasyam Kijai. A person who cannot keep his faith in the words of his spiritual master, but act independently, never receives the authority to chant the holy name of the Lord. It is said in the Vedas, Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata guru tasyete kadita dhyata prakashante mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. This injunction from Shweta Ashvatara Upanishad, chapter 6, verse 23, is very important. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu supported it by his personal behavior. Believing in the words of his spiritual master, Mahaprabhu introduced the Sankirtan movement, just as the present Krishna consciousness movement was started with belief in the words of our spiritual master. He wanted to preach. We believed in his words and tried somehow or other to fulfill them. And now, this movement has become successful all over the world. Therefore, faith in the words of the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the secret of success. Great sentence to write in your notebook. Some people write. What is the secret of, do you want to know the secret of success? Shraddha. Ado shraddha tata sarasanga bhajanakriya narata nivati talasat. Everything is faith. Begins with faith. Krishna consciousness begins with faith. It's sustained by faith. It's supported by faith, it's nourished by faith, that culminates with faith, and faith transforms into bhava and prema. The secret of success is faith in the words of Guru and God. G and G. Secret of success is faith in the words of Guru and God. Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya is telling, Prabhupada is summarizing this whole section. Mahaprabhu presented himself in a very humble way and said to Prakashana Saraswati, this is somewhat of a summary, Oh Guru, oh great Guru Maharaj, oh great Sannyasi Thakur, oh Prakashananda Saraswati, I am a great fool and do not have knowledge of right and wrong, yama and niyama. In order to understand the real meaning of Vedanta Sutra, I never followed the explanation of the Shankara Sampradaya or Mayavadi Sannyasis. I am very much afraid of the illogical arguments of the Mayavadi philosophers. Therefore, I think I have no authority regarding their explanations of the Vedanta Sutra. However, I firmly believe that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, I firmly believe that simply chanting the holy name of the Lord can remove all misconceptions of the material world. I believe that simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can attain shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. In this age of quarrel and this disagreement, the chanting of the holy names is the only way to liberation from the material clutches. Text 97. Krishna nama ye ananda sindhu ashwadan brahmananda tarage katto dakasam. Compared to the ocean of transcendental bliss, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling again, compared to the ocean of transcendental bliss that one tastes by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, the pleasure derived from impersonal Brahman realization, Brahmananda, is like the shallow water in a canal. Twat sakshat karanalad vishuddha dhati sitasyame shukani gopas dayante ramanyapi jagat guru. This is from Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, 1436. So Chaitanya quoting this verse to Prakashananda. O my Lord, O Master of the Universe, since I have directly seen you, my transcendental bliss has taken the shape of a great ocean. Being situated in that ocean, I now realize all the so-called happiness to be like the water contained in the hoofprint of a calf. Prabhura Mishta Vakya Shuni Sanyasi Ragan Chittapiri Gela Kahi Madhura Vachan. After hearing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the Mayavadi sannyasis were moved, their minds changed, and thus they spoke with pleasing words. So this is the conclusion of the story of Ishwara Puri and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the title we gave it. Because actually, all the statements we heard were received orally by the disciple, Lord Chaitanya. He heard these from Ishwara Puri, and he later repeated them in toto to Prakashananda Saraswati to benefit him and to enlighten him about the real meaning of the Vedas and the real way to attain perfection by Krishna Bhakti, to attain the highest perfection. And indeed, as you know, the happy ending of the story is that Prakashananda Saraswati and his 60,000 disciples were duly converted to the fold of Lord Chaitanya, and they became Vaishnavas, Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai.